Tonight we leave the upper room not at all as Da Vinci pictures it in that famous work of The Last Supper. We leave the upper room to go out of Jerusalem on the east side. There we find the Brook Kidron. This time of the year has it filled with water. It is probably even torrential as it's filled with rain. We don't know, but I suspect there had to be a bridge there where Jesus and 11 of his disciples crossed that bridge so that they could be on the other side. And there they turned left because the Mount of Olives was off to the left. When they got to the Mount of Olives, they made a right turn to go there to the Garden of Gethsemane, Gethsemane oil press, the Mount of Olives filled with olive trees. Were they the olive trees that are there now? Some have suggested it, but the Romans came at the fall of Jerusalem and they tore down all that was there. They uprooted the olive trees and destroyed them. It may be that a seed from one of those olive trees finally did take root. This last fall, I had no mums in my garden, but as the fall came, a little mum appeared. It had to be there for a year in the ground. Maybe that's how those olive trees got there who are there now. They may have been there that night that Jesus arrived. He had to go through Jerusalem. It wasn't a quiet town because they had just celebrated the Passover. And the gates of the temple would be opened at 12, and faithful Hebrews would be celebrating Passover. And so it was through a crowd of people that they finally got to the Garden of Gethsemane. 70 steps in one direction would make it two-thirds of the size of a football field in length, but then if it were 70 steps in each direction, it would probably be about the size of a football field. About a stone's throw, we think that the disciples probably were left at the entrance to the garden, 8 of them. He took with him 3 others, Peter, James, and John. We had heard earlier in the account, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said that Satan wanted to sift them as wheat. How do you sift wheat? You put it in a strainer, and so the wheat kernels would stay on the top and the unwanted dirt would fall through it. The disciples would be sifted as wheat by Satan to see whether they were, the wheat was sifted. You only had the pure wheat on the top. They would be sifted by Satan to see whether they really were what they claimed to be. Satan would sift them as wheat. He had already entered the heart of Judas. And Jesus now enters the Garden of Gethsemane, and he tells 3 disciples to go with him. They go with him a distance, and he withdraws himself from them about a stone's throw. We're not quite sure how far that would be, but I suspect you didn't have to be a quarterback in a football team to throw it a stone's throw, because it was only 70 steps in length. Indeed, there, Jesus had told them, watch and pray, watch and pray. What were they to watch for? Were they to be there to watch if and when Judas would come, that they could give the alarm? Pray. What did he want them to pray for? But he goes that stone's throw away, and he is on the ground praying. We just sang, he prayed in anguish in the garden. 3 times we heard him say, Father, if it be your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, here we get into heavy, heavy theology. Jesus is the eternal one. He knows everything. He can do everything. And he is praying, Father, if it be your will, remove this cup. Here we see Christ as the one who is like us. He humiliates himself. He doesn't empty himself of what he is, the eternal God, but he doesn't use what is his as he prays. And he prays in anguish. He's one of us, Father. He knows what's happening. He knows what the Father's will is. He is praying, if it be your will, remove this cup from me. Indeed, how can he, the eternal God, say that? In confirmation class, I would use the example, finding the smallest, weakest child in class, and then finding the bulliest, the biggest class, boy in class. And I would say, if young John would let huge Peter fight with him, and John would beat Peter, how could that be possible? Only if Peter would not use his strength. And so here is Jesus. He's in deep anguish. Truly, he is the eternal God, but he now is not using what God has given to him, what he has in his eternal I am. And he's praying, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Watch and pray, he told the disciples. Three times he goes there. Watch for Judas. Pray for what? What to pray for? Pray, God, your will be done. Does Jesus now already hear the footprints of Judas and the others coming? And the disciples, they were not as wheat sifted. They fell to the temptation. They weren't watching. They weren't praying. Watch and pray. What Jesus told the disciples, does he speak those same words to us? Watch for Judas. Watch for that which is ungodly. Watch for that which is indeed is controlled by Satan. Or do we often succumb to the secular world that more and more seeks to divorce itself from its creator? Do we walk along? Do we permit ourselves to be taken with the stream of the culture? We're not watching. We're being swept up. How about our prayer life? Watch and pray. I'm not sure what the disciples were to pray for. We're not told. But Jesus does tell us to pray. It's an embarrassing thing for me, and it would be for you too to open the large catechism and read under the position on the Lord's Prayer how Luther deals with prayer. He says, if you do not pray, that's as bad as breaking the fifth commandment. If you do not pray, that's as bad as breaking the sixth commandment. Indeed, when he says, do not take the name of God in vain, he wants you to take his name, to use his name, to pray to him. Pray. That's indeed a command that God gives. It's something that God's children should do. Pray, he says. Luther goes on to say how often people do not offer prayer because they say someone else is praying. Prayer is for holy people. Why should I pray? I've prayed before and nothing has happened. Indeed, those of you who have been children of parents, that includes most of us, maybe your father died early, you didn't have a father, maybe you didn't have a mother, but you've had mothers and fathers. What if you never spoke to them? You have a heavenly father. Would you treat your earthly father the way you treat him? Do you ignore him? Do you not speak with him? Do you not make yourself one as you come to him in prayer? And when you pray, do you give thought to what you're praying? How often have we prayed the Lord's Prayer and given no thought? We are simply speaking empty words. Pray. Indeed, when we hear our Lord beckoning his disciples to pray, and he beckons us to pray,
Oh, how we have failed, how we have denied our adoption. But what do we see in the garden? He who has said, pray, prays that God's will would be done. Indeed, perhaps you might remember the end of last Sunday's gospel, the temptation of Jesus. The devil leaves him. Luke has it better. He says he leaves him for an appointed time. The kairos, that same noun is used by Jesus to say, this is his kairos right now in the garden. Here. Oh, how well it was depicted in The Passion. Indeed, Gibson's film. There may have been things about it that were not right. But as the film opens, we see Jesus in the garden praying. And indeed, as we heard last Sunday, Satan left him for an appointed time. Now is the time. And Gibson depicts Satan returning in the garden. Jesus is there in anguish. He is being tempted again. And what happens in that film? Satan, who is depicted as neither male nor female, has a long robe, and out from under the robe slithers a snake, slithers Satan over to the praying Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He gets up and stomps on Satan's head. Indeed, the fulfillment of Genesis. Indeed, the seed of the woman would crush your head. And that's what's happening here in the garden. He who is praying, thy will be done. And he who commits himself into the will of the Father, and you sang about that in the hymn, so vividly portrays what happens to Jesus as he is taken captive, led into the court of Annas and Caiaphas, to Pilate, to Golgotha and Calvary, there to be nailed, there to have his heel bruised, but there at the cross, Satan is crushed, because he who there dies is the one who in his death overcomes death for us. And in the shedding of his blood, as his head is pierced with thorns, as his hands are nailed in his feet, and his side is pierced, he sheds the blood through which the word is true. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. When we haven't prayed, when we have been neglected in prayer, indeed when we have given no thought to our prayer, how bold it is for me to say, yes, even that is forgiven. And may the assurance that your life of prayer, which has not been what God wants it to be, is forgiven, that knowing what he has done to make you his forgiven children will cause the prayer of thanksgiving and intercession to be a constant word from your mouth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.